candles. Yes, Bill. Yeah, I think Bill's coming to just introduce the candles. I'm lighting it. Not four candles, only two. Yeah. Very disorganised. Yeah. There we are, Bill.
Advent week two. We light the second candle to remind us of God's goodness. God's gift to the world, his word. Jesus is the light of the world. God of revelation, we thank you that you are not a silent God, isolated from humanity, leaving us to guess and speculate about all that matters. Create in us, O Lord, a hunger for your word, thankfulness for your gospel, your good news, and faithfulness to your commands. Jesus Christ, our Lord, we welcome you.
Yeah, well, thank you, Ben.
Okay, thank you.
Well, that's a good start. Shall we welcome one another, shall we? You all come in the rain. It's so nice to see so many of you. And have a good night. We're still waiting for the family to come regarding the dedication, but we'll start as we would like to start, really. I'm going to read Psalm 100 as our welcome to worship. A familiar psalm, one of introduction to the service. Either my fingers are cold or we've got glue on the on the pages. I think it's my fingers. A hymn of praise. Let's turn to worship. Sing to the Lord, all the world. Worship the Lord with joy. Come before him with happy songs. Never forget that the Lord is God. He made us and we belong to him. We are his people. We are his flock. Enter the temple gates with thanksgiving and go into its courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise him. The Lord is good. His love is eternal and his faithfulness lasts forever. What wonderful words to begin our worship of God. We're going to sing now the hymn or song, Light of the World. Here I am to worship. Yes, here I am to worship. Here we are to worship. Thank you, Sandra.
Here
Let's come to God in our prayer. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Well, let's pray together and come into the presence of God with a time of thanksgiving and of praise, confession as well. Lord, thank you for bringing us here to worship you this morning. We thank you for each other and what each other means to us. But we know, Lord, we want to know you even more. And to love you even more as you love us, Lord, always. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for, even in this bad weather, that we can get about and be able to come into your house. And we think about, Lord, how good you are in the praise of you, Lord, as we offer that praise because we know, Lord, you're all-seeing, all-knowing, all-loving, a God who cares. And as we give you that thanks, we also recognise that we are not perfect. If we were perfect, Lord, we wouldn't be here. But we come, Lord, to perfect ourselves through the blessing you can give, that dying on the cross and our sins can be forgiven when we ask for them to be forgiven. So, Lord, cleanse us now before we continue in this worship. And may we know your joy and your love and your peace in our lives forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Welcome. Please enter. Yeah. Nice to see you. Now, we are blessed this morning by having Jessica and her family and wider family, and particularly Richard with us, who's going to be dedicated to the Lord. So can you bring him forward, please, Jessica? It's going to be one of those days today, I can feel it. I think nearly all those days are one of these days sometimes. Nice to see you, Jessica.
You too.
Hello. Ruwe, we call him, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, I like your suit top, yeah. Better than mine. Yeah. It is lovely. Yeah. Yeah, it is. So, in the name of Jesus Christ, we do welcome today Jessica with her son and members of their wider family, and really do mean welcome. Jessica is here to present her child before the Lord, as Jesus was presented in the temple by his parents. In so doing, they recognize that their child is not her personal property, but belongs also to God, and that as parents, they have responsibilities before God in their promise they will commit themselves to fulfill those responsibilities. As a church, we shall welcome this child into our family as Jesus welcomed children who were brought to him. So let's just, before we do the dedication, begin by recalling the promises and commands of God concerning children. The reading from the Old Testament, very familiar to many, and one which was from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord our one God, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments which I give you this day are to be remembered and taken to heart. Repeat them to your children and speak of them both indoors and out of doors, when you lie down and when you get up. And some words from the New Testament. They brought children for him to bless. The disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not try to stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." And he put his arms around them, laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you, the creator of all things, the giver of all life, and the father of each person. Joyfully, we thank you for the gift of this life in the birth and youngster, this child, Richard. We thank you for all that you have given and will give to us through him, for the potential of his new life, for the love and hope that he has awakened, and for the care which surrounds him. And please, Lord, accept our thanks and praise in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Jessica, a few words for you. Just say, I do.
I do, sorry.
It's quite easy. Jessica, do you thank God for his gift of your child? And do you accept the joys and duties of parenthood, promising to give love and care to your child?
I do.
Well done. Do you promise to bring your son up within the Christian community and to share your own faith with him?
I do.
What names have you given to your son?
Names?
Richard.
Oh, Richard.
Yeah. What's the other words then?
Richard Lee Francis Smith.
That's very good. Have you heard all that? Richard Lee Francis Smith. That's in the book. Would the congregation just stand, please, then? Do you promise to offer Richard and his family your love and care as a church, and to join with his parent in sharing our Christian faith? We do. Right, I'm going to put my hand on him, but okay. Richard Lee Francis Smith. And we know him really as Ruru. Remember? Ruru. That's the real name, isn't it, Ruru? Yes, Richard. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And we pray in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. And one more prayer before you sit. Loving God, we pray for Richard and his family. May they know the challenge and comfort of your love and see its power. Take all that we offer to Richard, our care, our wisdom, and our mistakes, and through them all reveal yourself. Take the experiences which Richard will have, and through them speak your gracious word. And as he grows in body, mind and spirit, feed and guide him by your Spirit. Bring him, we pray, safe through childhood and youth, and lead him to make the good confession one day that Jesus Christ is Lord. Through Christ, your Son and our Saviour. Amen. Please be seated. Don't go away a minute, we've got something to do. Yeah. Well, we have a nice certificate to present to the family. You've seen them before. Who's seen one like that? I've got one from 1947. Well, it might be 1948. Yeah, it's going back a few years, isn't it? But keep them in a file somewhere, won't you? And we're going to ask. Now, Seth, are you coming up to take the... Albie, right. Sorry, Leah. Yeah, sorry, Seth. Bad luck with your names. Hello, Albie. I did this to you a few months ago, didn't I? Yeah. You're growing now. Your dad all right? Is at work?
Yeah.
Doing the carvery?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you're going to take that to Mr. Mitchell, Keith. Is that right, Keith? Yeah. There we go, look. Shall we just have a quick applause? I think it's nice when people sing that. You're very brave, Jessica.
Thank you.
See you afterwards. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well done, Ruru. Ruru, well done. You're doing a good lad.
He
yeah.
Loves to play now.
He's lovely. Yeah, don't blame him. Right. It's nice to be young. We're going to sing now a song, Born in the Night, Mary's Child. It's a familiar one, this, I'm sure. Born in the Night, Mary's Child. Thank you, Sandra. I've got to sound. So don't block the vision.
Yeah.
Seated. Bless you, Sandra. Is somebody designated for the reading? I'll read it myself then. It's Isaiah chapter 40 and reading verses 1 to 5. Words of hope. Comfort my people, says our God. Comfort them. Encourage the people of Jerusalem. Tell them they have suffered long enough. Their sins are now forgiven. I have punished them in full for all their sins. A voice cries out, prepare in the wilderness a road for the Lord. Clear the way in the desert for our God. Fill every valley, level every mountain. The hills will become a plain, and the rough country will be made smooth. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all humankind will see it. The Lord himself has promised this. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Going to sing one more song now, or hymn. Hark the glad sound, the Saviour comes, the Saviour promised long. Well, I'm going to speak about getting ready. And as a text, I've chosen this. Sing for joy, for I am coming, and I will live among you, saith the Lord. To what? Christmas Day, correct. Have you all brought your Christmas cards yet? Have you all written your Christmas cards yet? No, nor have I either. I usually buy my cards in January in the sales. But I haven't written them at all, or I have a few, but still a few to do. You know, thinking about Christmas cards, it always amazes me that many of them still depict a British Christmas. Now, I noticed in my boxes it's now not quite so many, but many do still declaim the Christmas card being a kind of British thing to do, because on a British Christmas card usually you find heaps of snow, old-fashioned stagecoaches with the men on top, The postilions blowing their post horns. Log fires. People muffled in great coats and scarves. Men wearing top hats. Women wearing bonnets and so on. Is that right? It's right, the ones I send anyway. Now, depending on your point of view, they are either beautiful or they are cheesy nostalgia. You have a choice to make. And you know, in many ways, I feel that perhaps Charles Dickens is responsible for much of this image of Christmas. Bless him. It was he who made Christmas into a popular Victorian spectacle, complete with holly, Christmas trees, mistletoe, and family parties, to say nothing of the turkey. Were turkeys eaten in Dickens' day? I can't remember. Or was it probably chickens or, yeah, that kind of thing. Well, one thing he did do was to write a book called A Christmas Carol. Who's read that? Scrooge, etc. Don't look at me. Have you ever watched a film of Christmas Carol? Can I ask you if anybody hasn't? Oh, one person has. Well done. Be honest. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Keith, don't worry. It'll be on again this Christmas. Now, I wonder what Dickens or other people of his time would think about the Christmas celebrations of our time. I wonder what they would think about all the Christmas decorations and goods appearing in the shop weeks and weeks before the event. I wonder what they would think about all the advertisements appearing about Christmas in the newspapers and on the radio and on the TV, or even now online. Of course, we shall never know. But one thing is true, our preparations for Christmas start much earlier than that of our Victorian ancestors, and to my mind it seems to get earlier and earlier every year. Would you agree?
Yes.
I was in bed with him in Warwickshire not too long ago. Well, I'll tell you the date in a minute. And there was a notice in the butcher's window. It said, "Order your turkey for Christmas now." When do you think that was put up in his shop? Any idea? You're right, it was August. August the 1st. But seriously, what a contrast, though, all of this we're talking about is to the first Christmas. For the first Christmas, there was, in one sense of the phrase, little or no preparation. When our Lord's birth was imminent, Joseph and Mary were in a strange town. They were far from home and without any lodging for the coming night. They certainly had not planned ahead, and so were forced to take a kind of potluck and rely on the goodwill of an innkeeper whose inn was already packed to the doors because of the census that was taking place. I'm sure that if only the innkeeper had known that an event of such stupendous importance to the world was about to take place, he would have made preparations himself to receive Mary and Joseph. But he didn't.
It was just another busy day with nothing to expect out of the ordinary. And neither, of course, did the shepherds at sunset on Christmas Eve have the least idea of what strange things were about to happen before sunrise. It was just another night of cold and wind lay ahead of them, with little or no chance to do more than snatch a brief nap. There was always the threat of a lurking thief, or worse, a wolf to look out for. But it was all part of the job for which they were quite prepared. But you know, they were not a bit prepared for the drama that was about to unfold. Myriads of angels appearing, announcing the birth of Christ. How would we react if we were in a field and lots of angels suddenly appeared? I think they were fearful. And in being fearful, they would be how I would react anyway. But the angel said, "Do not fear. This day Jesus is born in Bethlehem." Thinking about being prepared, would we be prepared if someone came to us at the end of this service and asked us what is meant by the gospel? Would you be able to answer that? Or would you point them to me or someone else? How about if 50 new folk that we had never seen before suddenly came here to church next Sunday? Would you be prepared? Could you handle it? Look, I was in scouting for many years, and that's a bad thing to say in Carey. There's all boys brigade here when I was minister. But I was in scouting and as a scout. And the scout motto was, be prepared. Is that right? Yes. They were not prepared, and we are not prepared for that. However, the Bible tells us that there were at least some who were involved with the events who took place in Bethlehem so long ago, who were indeed very well prepared. Firstly, and above all, there was Mary. Mary, honoured and chosen by God. A young girl of exceptional character. A devoted Jewish maiden, and one who no doubt shared in the dream vision of so many young girls that she might just be the one chosen to bear the Saviour, the Messiah, in fulfilment of the prophecy of Isaiah, some of which we heard earlier. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name will be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Mary was all right prepared for that indeed. And secondly, on their way from the remote parts of Persia, modern day Iran, got the pages stuck. I think I've got three. Hold on a minute, folks. It's case some thin paper. They came from Iran, did you know that? Or they thought to become from Persia, which was in that modern day Iran, but it could have been even farther afield than that. Frankly, they were a group of scientists of their day, wise men skilled in the knowledge of the world of nature, skilled in observing the weather, having knowledge of the tides and the moon and the stars also. Friends, they were certainly prepared. They had made their plans and had been on the road for days, perhaps even weeks, perhaps even months. And all the time their eyes were fixed upon the star, which led them to where God had had prepared for them to be. To the stable, to the cave at Bethlehem, to see the baby Jesus, to see the King of Kings, and to kneel and pay homage to him. They were prepared. Now, they did deviate a bit. They went to, took their eyes off the star, didn't they? And they ended up at Herod's palace. But in the end, they did reach the Christ child to pay homage to him. So back to our time. I'm sure that all of us have much to do and much to prepare between now and Christmas Day. Are you nodding? Yes, I'm sure. There are cards to write and letters to write. There are presents to buy. More items are needed for the food cupboard and, yes, perhaps the freezer. There are arrangements to be made for visits to parties. And in many ways, although it is a bit of a hassle and hard work, yes, it's good. It's an exciting time. It gives us all something to focus and to aim for. And I feel that it makes us happy because we hope to make so many others happy too. And it means, of course, not only those in our circle of family and friends, it also includes helping the poor and the needy and the lonely and the downcast, of which there are many, as we know, even in this town. It also makes us think more about the world that we live in, the world where there is so much suffering and pain, so much poverty, where there are horrors of war. And that's increasing. It seems to be getting worse. But the Bible actually would say it would get worse. And it is getting worse. And as Christians, where at Christmas we celebrate the coming of Jesus, that's God incarnate, as a baby, we should also remember, as he promised, as he ascended into heaven after his death and resurrection, that he will come back again. But at this time, not as a baby, but as the King of Kings with bands of angels to accompany him, to sort things out once and for all. A time when he will separate the sheep from the goats, the good from the evil, where God will be our judge. I pray when he returns that in that day we are belonging to Jesus, that we belong to Jesus, and that we shall be prepared for that return. And I hope that we can always have this Christmas and knowledge in mind that, yes, we're now worshipping a God who is so wonderful for us. But one day he will return and take us into himself. May you all have a blessed time and a blessed Christmas, and all have a knowledge of love for God and all God's people and all people in the planet. Amen. If you are unsure about your relationship with Jesus and would like to know more, please have a chat with me afterwards. You're most welcome to do so. Let's just offer our prayers to our God. Prayers of intercession. We have a quiet time for a few moments to bring our own petitions to God. We can do it in our own home or whatever, but it's nice when we can do that together in church. Even though we don't know what others are saying, we can be assured that our Lord is listening always. Dear Lord, thank you for a quiet time we can have. And Lord, we do pray, Lord, that you are now listening to our prayers as you always do, at home, in a group, in your church. Amongst this church, Lord, we know that we all believers who worship you and want to extend that worship into asking for your help, Lord, in certain things in our lives. We think immediately to the troubles within the world. And we do pray for those wars, Lord, that they will stop at some time and we will find peace, Lord, particularly through Ukraine and Russia. We do think of Israel and Gaza and even Lebanon. We think of the Sudan, Lord, and the civil war going on there. We think of this time about Syria just being overtaken by another army of people, Lord, and we don't know what we can think of that, except, Lord, sometimes one dictator and another one takes over. But, Lord, we do pray, Lord, that one day people will find peace. And may we know, Lord, that we can help those to find peace through being kind to others and being just and deliver justice to those who are in pain and trouble, fearful, suspicious, and all kind of bad things happening. So, Lord, we pray for the world for that, and we pray for our own nation, Lord. May we be united, even if we don't agree with the politics, but united, Lord, to know we're in a democracy which we do govern each other, and the majority govern, but sometimes not as we would want to see it. But Lord, on the other hand, democracy is one of the best realms of government. We pray for this church and the church in this country, and may we know, Lord, your peace to descend upon this church and with those doors wide open to bring people in to welcome them, Lord. And may people know the love of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ, the joy of Christ, and the peace of Christ descend upon them as they come through those doors. Lord, we pray for those who live alongside these streets. We pray, Lord, those in darkness will find this church a beacon of light to reach out. And finally, Lord, we pray for ourselves. Please, Lord, keep us strong. May we know your love for us in a deep way. And may we give you, Lord, all that praise and honour and joy to your name as we keep, Lord, together with others and as we go into our everyday working life, everyday life, Lord, that we can find that strength to continue. So, Lord, there's so many things we could pray for, but we ask you, Lord, to bless these prayers and those we've made privately. And may we know your joy and peace now and for always. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to finish with a carol. It came upon a midnight clear. And I've chosen this one. I think it's quite well known. But one of the verses in the middle talk about wars and that kind of thing, praying for those to cease, and you'll pick it up as we sing the carol. It came upon a midnight clear. Thank you again. Let's have the grace to one another. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, ever and ever. Amen. God be with you. Have a very happy Christmas.